Praise the Lord. Today, we're going to again speak about Jesus' coming. I just, every time we have a holiday like New Year's, you know, I always think of, well, here we are going into a new year. And I really thought Jesus was going to come last year. And there's just so many things happening in the United States. Just look at the crime. Look at all the things that are going on in the news. It just is amazing. I've not seen this before in the United States, the way that it is right now. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And all of the things happening in the world today, too, you know, we're not sure about China, and Russia may do worse things. They've claimed that they might go ahead and do a bomb or something. And when they're talking about that, they're talking about the atomic bomb, blowing it off and doing some terrible damage. And you know, all of these things that we see happening in the world today. Do you believe like I do? I think these are all signs of the coming of Jesus, that he's going to come. He's going to set us free, and he's going to deliver this world. It's going to take him almost 7 years to get rid of the Antichrist. I mean, he could do it like that, but he gives time for man to repent and walk with God. So we know all of that. And today, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus coming soon. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, we're going to just read a scripture, a couple of things there that Jesus said. The 16th chapter of Matthew. We're going to look at verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. You know, that seems to be kind of like what we like. We like to see signs. We like to see signs that Jesus is going to come again right now, you know, right away. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees were mocking Jesus when they said this. Okay, you say you're the Son of God? Show us a sign. Well, we're seeing signs, aren't we? We're seeing signs according to the Word of God. And one of these days, the greatest sign of all. Oh, isn't it going to be wonderful when Jesus comes back and we're going to see him? It's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord. So look at verse 3. And he told them, he answered them in verse 2, when it is evening, you say that it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. The signs of the times. The Jewish religion was totally out of click, out of anything to understand about Jesus, who he really was, and they were against him. And he says, you're not discerning the signs of the time. And notice what it says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Remember that Jonah was in the bottom, the belly of the whale for 3 days, and then he came forth again. I think he was using that as an illustration that it looked like maybe he wasn't, as when he was here on earth, the Jews and as Sadducees, Pharisees were not accepting him. They finally were the main ones that called forth for the crucifixion of Christ. But he says, there have been signs before to people that God was going to do some great thing. And of course, Jonah, we know how unhappy he was where he was been talking about Sodom, not Sodom, Gomorrah, the other part that Jonah was going to go to and preach. He just knew that God ought to just strike him dead. Remember that? Read the book of Jonah sometimes. They'll tell you that. So, but we notice two phrases here. The sign from heaven in verse 1, and then in the verse 3, the latter part, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Well, that's a question to all of us today. Are we those that understand really what is about to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And the tribulation is going to start. and all of these things that we have studied and read about. So I want us to turn now to the book of Ephesians. As we're turning to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, I want to tell you that the word times in the Greek, it has a meaning of the set or proper time, which is due. The set or the prophet, the proper time that is due. So when Jesus says the signs of the times, he's talking about, you know, if they would have received him, then it would be a whole different story. But they did not receive him. They rejected him. And so he has waited all of this, these years. Of course, he knows everything in the beginning. But he has waited all of these years of over 2,000 years and hasn't come back. But he's going to come. Let's look in Ephesians, the first chapter. And we're going to begin reading with verse 7. And it's speaking about Jesus here, and the latter part of verse 6, it calls him the Beloved, that we are made, he has made us accepted in the Beloved. So that means that when we received salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord God then said, I accept you into my family, you are my child, we are all the children of God by faith. And he is our beloved Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Verse 7, in whom? In Jesus Christ, the beloved Lord. We have redemption through his blood. Now, redemption means to pay a price for something. When we redeem something from the shop, you know, that the place that we, hawk shop, they call it. I've never done that, but I know other people who have done it. Just that redemption, we go pay the price and we get the thing back. Well, Jesus Christ paid the price, and the price was his blood to redeem us. And then he says the forgiveness of sins. That's so wonderful, isn't it, to know that we have been forgiven of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise the Lord. And then verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The word mystery here means a secret, the secret of the will of God. We know that, don't we? Does everybody here realize that Jesus is going to come back and that it could be soon? This is a secret that a lot of the world doesn't know. We as believers have a mystery revealed to us of his will. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? He set it all forth in the Bible for us. Isn't it wonderful? And we're not to be ignorant. We're not to be someone that doesn't know what's going to happen, because he has set it forth. Praise the Lord. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. And that means that God is delighted. God is delighted in the plan that is going to be worked out. That his son is going to come back here one of these days. And he's going to take out a people of God who are walking with him, called the bride of Christ. He's going to take them out first. Then there are going to be other groups that will be taken to heaven. As we've studied in the book of Revelation, I hope all of you remember the different groups that we saw in heaven. And so, this is a mystery, and it's according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, the word dispensation, it just means a time period. And we have in the Word of God taught to us, and we've taught it here from the pulpit several times over the years, that there are seven dispensations. The beginning was there, Adam and Eve in the garden. That was the beginning dispensation. And all down through the centuries and years, God has dealt with people in different manners. Till finally we came to the grace age, which is the sixth dispensation. And this grace age is also called the church age. So praise the Lord. So when he talks about that, the dispensation of the fullness of times, That's this age at the end. We're coming to the fullness of times. God is going to say, I've done it. This is it. I've offered them and I've offered to them that they walk with me, that they yield to me, that they receive. Of course, first thing is to receive Christ as our Savior. But he's going to say, time is done. It's now time for the judgment. So the fullness of the dispensation of times. He might gather together. He's going to gather all of his people, all the people that belong to him. One, he says, one or all in one. Who is that one that he's going to gather us together to? Christ. He's going to gather us together to the heavenly place. And they're in Christ. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So that's the plan of God, the mystery, and there in verse 9, I wanted to read that on, it's his secret. In the Greek, that word mystery means the secret. When there's a mystery, we don't understand a lot of times what the mystery is. We want to try to investigate and find out what it means. What is the mystery? This word mystery means the secret. The secret of God, what he's doing, his good pleasure, as you see that there, the dispensation of the fullness of times, that it was according to his good pleasure in verse 9, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. And that word pleasure means delight. So you know what God is doing? He's looking down today and he's seeing people who are walking with God. He's seeing people who are waiting for his coming, and it thrills his heart. It is pleasure to him because he loves us so much. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, praise the Lord. His great delight. Hallelujah. So God is dealing with mankind in seven different time periods. And as I mentioned a while ago, we are now in the grace or the church age. And back when we were studying the book of Revelation in chapter 19, we saw that at one verse there said that the bride has made herself ready. See, that's the people of God that are fully yielding to God, want to be in that part. The Lord has allowed that work in their life that has made them ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And then later, beginning in verse 11, do you remember that? It says there that Christ will come to the earth riding on his white horse, and the people will be with him on their white horses. That's him coming back at the end of the tribulation when he manifests himself of really who he is. In the tribulation, there'll be more unbelief than we've ever seen. There will be more crimes, more horrible incidents, more battles, everything that we can imagine that has been terrible in this world will be here in this world. Manifold things, many, 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 many bad things happening in this world that we just can't even imagine. But this will be at the end of this age of grace when he comes back and he's going to show himself that I am the king of this world and everyone is going to obey me. He's going to be coming in judgment. And that chapter 19, it tells us that he's going to take the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's not going to let them go to hell. He's going to send them to the lake of fire immediately. He's going to take them and fling them into the lake of fire. Later on, he takes old Satan and puts him in the bottomless pit for a thousand years, and then later takes him out and throws him in the lake of fire. They're not going to mess with mankind that loves God anymore. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. We're just looking here at the Jesus coming soon because I feel it. I feel it in my heart. I could say I feel it in my bones, but I don't. But I feel it in my heart, my inner self. I feel that it's very, very short time. Let's look in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy and look at verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe," and so forth. And we're going to go down, notice that word in verse 1, departing from the faith. The departure from the faith. In the book of Acts, hold your place here and then go back to the book of Acts chapter 20. And we're going to see that Apostle Paul, when he was preaching the word of God, what he says about the departure of the word of God, the truth that he was teaching. In chapter 20, verse 27 is where we're going to read. Acts 20, verse 27. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And when it says all there, it means the entire. And the counsel of God is the unsearchable riches of Christ that he mentions. The wonderful, wonderful things to know about God. Apostle Paul talked to the people. And then through his writings, he teaches them to us. Praise the Lord. Verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Praise the Lord. Notice this in verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So the old devil's going to be at work, and the Lord is saying that he's going to be at work. He said that seducing spirits would come and try to get people to turn away from the truth. So who is it that tries to condemn us and get us to lose victory in our life, to not look at the Lord Jesus and the things he's doing by faith? The devil. And it is through seducing spirits. It speaks of imposters. Imposters, they don't have any right to do anything to us. We're the children of the king. But they try, don't they, to defeat. And they are deceivers. And he said there would be doctrines of devils. So Jesus spoke of the truth. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You don't have to be caught up in some thing that the devil's trying to throw at your life or to cause you to be defeated. He's a liar. He's an imposter. And the lies that he tells are erroneous Christian doctrine. He says, "This is what the Bible means. Believe this." And a lot of times it's error because it isn't really the truth. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 6. And I want to read, I hope I'm reading it, 2 Timothy 6, pardon me. There's no 6, so it has to be 1 Timothy. All right, we're going to make it. The enemy's just trying to do something here. Not going to let him, okay? So you don't let him either. Okay, so we're going to go to verse 12. That's why I didn't see it there. 1 Timothy 6:12 instead of 1 through 2, okay? So he tells here to fight the good fight of faith. And he says to lay hold on eternal life. Now, some people think that means that we have to keep ourselves saved and try to do the right things so we can still have eternal life. It doesn't mean that. It means us to enter in to what the Lord has for us. Fight a good fight of faith and enter in to the fact that we are going to have eternal life with the Lord. "Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession, having many witnesses. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." I want to go down to 14. "That thou keep this commandment without spot, rebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There again, how long do we have to do this? How long does the Lord want us to stand fast in the word of truth and follow through what we have been taught until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't give up. Don't give up. All of us that have been at track meets, my son used to be a fantastic track runner, and he won many medals, went to state even. But he could run so fast. And that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to run fast, not give up for anything, not pain in our body, not the problems of other people give us, not anything. The time is so short. He says here for Timothy, keep this until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, this very near proper time. He says, which in his times, in other words, when Jesus comes back, it'll be the Lord's time. It won't be man's time anymore. It's going to be God's time, Jesus' time. And in his time, he shall show who is the blessed potentate. I like that word, potentate, potentate. It means sovereign. He's going to show who he is, the sovereign God. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there'll be no question. They won't say, oh, this is just that poor man from Nazareth that doesn't really know anything and he's not of God. They won't ever be able to say that. He's going to be coming in power and glory, and he's going to show who is this wonderful sovereign God and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice verse 16, who only hath immortality. See, living forever. He's the only one that has that power. He's the one that gives us power one of these days to live forever. I'm getting old. But one of these days, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to live forever. And so are you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. I got a blessing out of this. I was looking and I just kept seeing more and more things. He was talking about the last times and Apostle Paul, you know, that was one of his themes. He really thought Jesus was going to come in his time. He thought that. He was going to come back. And Jesus did come at that time. But 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This was written in 66 A.D. Apostle Paul had a revelation that in the last days there was going to be perilous times that were going to come. What does the word mean, perilous? Dangerous, troublesome, loss of strength. Loss of strength. I wrote down here that this is going to create more dependence on the Lord. You know, it's hard to be weak. I've had weak times in my life physically. And, you know, it's hard to be weak. We want to be that strong person that can just keep on going and standing and all of that. But praise the Lord, when we realize that perilous times are here. And we may be weak in loss of strength, but we could just lay back on the Lord because he's going to hold us and take care of us. Isn't that beautiful? And then, of course, we have the writings clear from verse 2 through verse 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means in rebellion against society, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that we have learned that these things that are against God, these different attitudes that people have, These are the things that we are to turn away from. We are the children of the living God. We have a new life. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're overcomers in Christ as we lay hold by faith of the promises of God. I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians. I may not read all of this, but let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and just review again for a little bit here of what Jesus said that he's going to do. And he says it through Paul. We're going to begin reading 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And that's what I'm speaking this morning. The word of the Lord. I'm saying these things by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word actually should be precede, because the scripture goes ahead and tells it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, that's why we're not preventing them. We are going to be second. After the dead in Christ are raised and caught up, then we will be caught up also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We already read that. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So when you feel down in the dumps, you feel like things are going against you or whatever, because we know we're human and we go through all this stuff, remember to be comforted by the words of the Lord, that we're not bound just for this world. Praise the Lord. I can hardly wait. We're going to one day be with the Lord. I want to read a little bit into chapter 5, too. Praise the Lord. I'm going to skip a little bit because I'm running out of time, beginning with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I could ask for a show of hands, but I won't. But I know that nearly everyone here in this place has heard that Jesus Christ is coming soon. I've heard it all my life. I've heard that Jesus was coming soon. And according to how old I am now, it hasn't been soon, huh? But praise the Lord, he is coming anytime. He could come anytime. The times, that speaks of the years. The season speaks of the parts of years. All of these things, we have no need to write, Paul says, to write to these people, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Yeah, some people are not going to see him come. They're not going to know that he has come until they start missing people that they love or other people they knew. They'll miss people that have been taken up to heaven. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know that right about the time, you know, if the Lord is coming here in at this present time that we're in, the Antichrist is already in the world. We don't know who he is. But one of these days when the Lord takes away his beloved people to be with him, that Antichrist is going to jump up. He's going to be making a covenant, actually a little bit before the tribulation starts, we'll make a covenant with different nations of the world that he will back them and they will be safe and all of that stuff that the Word of God teaches us so many times we've gone over. But notice, sudden destruction then will come. The tribulation time will come as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then he adds this, but ye, brethren and sistern, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us put who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, the next verse says. Praise the Lord.